Here is a very wonderful description of the normal experience of the Christian life. Pursue this life to which God has called you, and these blessings will be yours. Your heart will not condemn you. You will have confidence even before Almighty God, and God will hear and answer your prayers.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. And Colin, I can just imagine someone listening to that and saying, okay, God's blessings are mine. My heart's not going to condemn me. Confidence before God. He's going to answer my prayers. Really? That is not my experience, Colin.
Well, you know, these are precisely the things that are promised to us and are spoken of in the scriptures that we're looking at today. And they're very, very wonderful. John speaks in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21 of our hearts not condemning us, of us having confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, just read these verses. You say, well, I want to know more of that. But that's what's being promised here. It's what is being laid before us. Now, John, as we'll see, does not lay this out as being the invariable experience of a believer. There are times when we find ourselves assailed with doubts and questions and so forth. That is also part of the reality of Christian experience. But it is a normal part of Christian experience that we really do have peace with God, and therefore that we should have confidence before him and peace, and know that when we come to pray, we are asking things of a loving Heavenly Father who delights to give good gifts to his children. That really is the normal Christian life, and it is wonderful. And so let's savor it a little bit today and be encouraged by what God has promised to us and what God holds before us.
Well, let's look at these promises together. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 24 is where we're going to focus. Grab your Bible, meet us there as we begin a message called Assurance Grows as You Lean on the Word of the Father. Here's Pastor Colin.
We're facing this very important question. How can I be sure that I am a Christian? How can I know that I have been truly born again? How can I know with a settled confidence that one day I really will be in the Father's house in heaven? Now, these are real questions, and they often trouble the minds and hearts of Christian believers, not only new believers, but sometimes mature believers as well. There will be many of us here in the congregation this morning who know what it is to say, "Am I the real deal? Or could it be that I am deceiving myself?" Now, this wonderful first letter of John was written to answer these questions. We saw earlier that chapter 5 and verse 13 states the purpose of the letter. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So John is writing to believers. The great majority of us here today in this service, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "I'm writing to you who believe." And the reason that he's writing to us who believe is that we may know that we have eternal life. By the way, in the verses that were just read to us, did you notice that this theme of assurance comes at the beginning and the end of the section of this letter that's before us today? Verse 19, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth." Or verse 24, "And by this we know that he abides in us." That's what this letter is all about. That's the central question that's before us today. How do we know? Now, John was confident that the people to whom he was writing, his first readers, were indeed true believers. If you look back in chapter 2 and verse 12, he says there, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning." And he says, "I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." These are marvelous statements. You are forgiven. You know God. You have overcome the evil one. There could hardly be a clearer or a stronger statement of confidence that these people really are in Christ. So John is very confident about them, But the point of his writing is that he wants them to be sure about themselves. And so he identifies in this letter three distinguishing marks, or three signs that we as believers should be able to see in ourselves that indicate clearly that we are in Christ. And these three signs are, first, that we believe in God's Son; second, that we love God's people; and third, that we obey his commands. No Christian does these things perfectly. But in every Christian, there really is a true beginning of each of these things. In every Christian, there is a true beginning of faith. In every Christian, there is a true beginning of love. And in every Christian, there is a true beginning of obedience. You can truly say, if you belong to Christ, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we love God and his people, and we seek to obey his commands. And John sets out very clearly that these three things are the irrefutable evidence that a person really has been born again. So if you look at chapter 5 and verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? John is asking. You would say, well, yes, I do. Well, then he would say, that's clear evidence then, isn't it, that you have been born of God. Yes, your faith may be mixed up with all kinds of questions and doubts and fears, but despite all of that, you can say in truth today, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the clearest possible sign that you have indeed been born of God. This is how you know. And he says the same thing about love. Chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. So he's making this point. God has given you new life. And the clear sign and evidence that he has given you this new life is that you love Christ and that you love his people. Yes, sure, sometimes your love may burn low. It may not be as strong or as clear as it should be. But despite all that, you could stand with the Apostle Peter today and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you know that I love you. And then John says the same thing about obedience, chapter 2 and verse 29. You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Now you see, he's saying the same thing again. God has given you new life. Here's the evidence, the sign, the proof that God really has done this in you. You are seeking to live according to his commandments. Now, of course, like every other Christian, you are still a long way from being the person that God calls you to be. But truly, there is within your heart today a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the reason that there is a hunger and thirst for righteousness in your heart today is that God's Spirit lives within you. You have indeed been born again. Now, these are the signs that John lays out that are evidence of new life in Jesus Christ. They are signs that a believer should be able to see in him or herself, and they will confirm to you that you have been born of God. You believe in God's Son, you love God's people, and you seek to obey his commands. And by the way, I wonder if you noticed in the verses that were read for us today that these three are repeated by John yet again. He repeats these time and again throughout the letter. Verse 23 of chapter 3, this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. So these are the signs of new life. You should draw comfort from every glimpse that you have of them in your own heart and in your own experience. And these are the things that you should pursue. Go after these things. Because the more these things grow in your life, the more you will have the peace and joy of knowing that you really are in Christ, that you really have been born again, and that one day you really will be in the Father's house in heaven. And what I want us to see is that this assurance, that's the central theme of John's gospel, assurance is God's wonderful gift to those who believe. And it comes to us through the ministry of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know that you know him. He didn't want you to be in doubt about it. He wants you to know that you are in Christ. He wants you to know that you really do have eternal life. And John gives us a glimpse of how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit minister into the heart of a Christian believer in order to deliver us from doubt and from fear and to bring us into joy and peace in believing.
We'll take a look at that glimpse in just a moment, so hope you'll stay with us here on Open the Bible. You're listening to a message called Assurance Grows as You Lean on the Word of the Father. It's part of a larger series all about the topic of assurance called How Can I Be Sure? And if you ever miss a program in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Or, of course, you can listen every day on the radio. But it's all made possible because of your generosity. So thank you for giving to and supporting this ministry. If you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book Pastor Colin has picked out. It's written by Donald McLeod. It's called Faith Undaunted, Embracing Faith and Knowledge in a Post-Truth Era. Find out more online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now today we're going to look then at how God the Father assures us that we are his children. We're going to see that assurance grows as we lean on the word of God the Father. Now, if you have your Bible open at the verses that have been read for us today, you will see that John describes here three conditions of heart. He speaks about the condemning heart, verse 19, whenever our heart condemns us. Then in the same verse, he speaks about the reassured heart. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. And then in verse 21, he speaks about the confident heart. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We're going to look at these three things together today. We're going to begin with the confident heart. Now, I want to suggest to you that John is describing here the normal Christian life. The normal experience of the Christian life is that our hearts do not condemn us. Verse 21, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now, I want us to pause and take in just how good it is to be a Christian. I mean, there really is no better life than this. To know that your sins have been forgiven. To know that God is for you 100% in Jesus Christ. To be able to say, in your worst day as well as your best, no condemnation now I dread, because Jesus and all in him is mine. To know that whatever may happen in this very uncertain world, you are only a very short distance from your eternal home where you will see God's face. And he will wipe all tears away from your eyes, and you will rejoice forevermore in the glory of his presence. This is the peace that God wants you to enjoy. It is the normal experience of the Christian life that our hearts do not condemn us. And then John says, describing the Christian life, that we have confidence before God. Look at what he says. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. I wonder how you relate to that word confidence. You feel confident? Some people are more confident than others in relation to their work. Some people are more confident than others in regard to relationships. But here, John speaks about confidence before God. I mean, how amazing is that? God will destroy the wicked. The Bible tells us that God will melt the earth with fervent heat. But as a Christian believer, you can say with confidence that the terrors of law and of God with me shall have nothing to do, because my Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. The normal experience of the Christian life is that you are able to say, it is well with my soul. Isn't that good news? That's the normal experience of the Christian life. That you're able to say and to know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God's Spirit really lives within you, that you have peace with God, that you have confidence before Him. And then John reminds us, as he lays out how good it is to be a Christian, he reminds us that the normal experience of the Christian life is that God answers our prayers. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Now, the point, of course, here is that as you believe and love and obey God, the things that you ask of Him will in large measure be aligned with His will. And when the things that you ask of God are aligned with His will, you will receive what you ask. Now, every Christian knows what it is to ask something of God and not to receive it. But surely we can agree together today that the normal experience of the Christian life is that God answers our prayers. How good is that? We ask and we receive. And then John says the normal experience of the Christian life is that we live according to God's commands. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. So you see, John keeps coming back to this life that God has called us to live. Believing God, loving God, obeying God's commands. That's the life to which we're called. And here he reminds us that as we pursue this life, assurance will grow and peace will prevail. So here is a very wonderful description of the normal experience of the Christian life. Pursue this life to which God has called you, and these blessings will be yours. Your heart will not condemn you. You will have confidence even before Almighty God, and God will hear and answer your prayers. But there's more. And here, John addresses a very real problem that all Christians deal with sometimes, and some Christians deal with often. And that is the problem of the condemning heart. Notice what he says in verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. The normal experience of the Christian life is that our heart does not condemn us. But John, writing to Christian believers, makes it very clear that sometimes our heart will condemn us. And notice that John does not say if, he says when. He's writing to Christian believers, and he says, whenever our heart condemns us. So if you have had this experience, you're not alone. This is not an unusual thing. It's a real problem that John is addressing for us here today. Now, to be clear, some believers will deal with this problem of a condemning heart more than others. There are several different reasons for that. One is that some of us are simply more introspective than others. Some of us set more demanding standards for ourselves than others. And some live with more sins that have not yet been forsaken than others. But when all of that is said and done, most Christians know what it is at some time or other in our lives to look into our own hearts and to say, how could a person who has thought what I have thought and said what I have said and done what I have done really be a Christian? Could it be that I am in fact deceiving myself and that the truth is not in me? And if you recognize that kind of thought or something of a similar sort, you're recognizing the reality of the condemning heart. And John says whenever that happens, he's addressing that problem that all of us at some time are likely to face.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a look today at the confident heart and the condemning heart. We'll continue our look at the condemning heart and take a look at the reassured heart on our next broadcast. I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a program, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of Donald McLeod's book, Faith Undaunted, Embracing Faith and Knowledge in a Post-Truth Era. But Colin, before you ever talk about this book, I often hear you say, who you read is just as, if not even more important than what you read. So who is Donald McLeod?
Well, Donald McLeod is one of my favorite authors and indeed one of my favorite preachers. He's had a formative influence in my life. You'll guess, Steve, from the name McLeod, what country he comes from. He's from the Highlands of Scotland. A brilliant mind, an extraordinary gift of preaching, and a quite brilliant writer. I recall sitting listening to him preach. He would speak for an hour, and at the end there would be a stunned kind of silence across the whole room. Quite remarkable, the work of the Spirit through his preaching. I have bought every book that he has written because he writes with such compelling color. His thinking is fresh. He says things that are familiar in a way that makes them live and shine in new ways. And this is the last book that he wrote before the Lord called him home just a couple of years ago, Faith Undaunted. And he's speaking about the fundamentals of Christian faith, about God the Creator, about the Bible, the very Word of God, about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the book, he has a chapter on what it means to follow Christ based on the words of Jesus about the broad way and the narrow way. I think that's one of the most compelling presentations of the Christian life and the call of Christ that I've ever read. So I'm a real enthusiast about Donald McLeod. I think he's been a wonderful gift to the church. He's not widely known here in America, but his books are well worth reading, and this one's a gem.
All right, I'm looking forward to reading this, and we would love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, and our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin. And I love the story of the thief on the cross because it's the best story we have to help people understand grace. You know, many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life either. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can everyone you know and will ever meet. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. We've seen God use this film to help many trust in Jesus as the thief did. So who is there in your life who needs to understand grace? For more information or to watch this film for free, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.